Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Vini from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 3. Krishna is the source of all incarnations. Text number 41. Tadidam grahayam masa.
Tadidam grahayam masa.
Sutam atmavatam baram.
Sutam atmavatam baram.
Sarvavede tihasanam.
Sarvavede tihasanam.
Saram saram samudritam.
Saram saram samudritam.
Tadidam grahayam masa.
Tadidam grahayam
Sutam atmavatam varam.
Sutam atmavatam varam.
Sarvavede tihasanam.
Sarvavede tihasanam.
Saram saram samudritam.
Saram saram samudritam.
Atmavatam.
Atmavatam.
Of the self-realized.
Of the self-realized.
Varam.
Varam.
Most respectful.
Most respectful.
Sarava.
Sarava.
All.
All.
Veda,
Veda.
Vedic literatures,
books of knowledge,
Itihasanam,
Itihasanam.
Of all the histories,
Saram,
cream,
Saram,
cream,
Samudritam,
taken out.
Taken out.
Time to get a new microphone stand, I would suggest. When it stops working, then that means it's time to get a new one. There's so many things you can do, but it's supposed to work like this. Yep. Oh, what happened there? The petals fell on the screen and activated the link. Okay, let's go back to where we want to be. Oh my gosh, what's happened here? That's interesting. Okay. Sri Vyasadeva delivered it to his son. Delivered what? Knowledge, Vedic knowledge. In particular, what? Srimad Bhagavatam. Yes. Srimad Bhagavatam. Sri Vyasadeva delivered it to his son, who is the most respected among the self-realized. Atmavatam. Varam. Atmavatam varam. Tat idam grahayamasa sutam. He gave it to his son. Atmavatam varam. Atmavatam means he had knowledge of the self. Atmavat. He knows himself. He holds himself. He's aware of himself. Atmavatam varam. Most respectful. Sri Vyasadeva delivered it to his son, who is the most respected among the self-realized, after extracting the cream of all Vedic literatures and histories of the universe. Sarva, Veda, Itihasanam, Saram, Saram, Samudritam. Samudritam means to take out. What has he taken out? The Sara, the essence. The cream. The cream. Purport. Men with a poor fund of knowledge only accept the history of the world from the time of Buddha or since 600 BC. And prior to this period, all histories mentioned in the scriptures are calculated by them to be only imaginary stories. That is not a fact. All the stories mentioned in the Puranas and Mahabharata, etc., are actual histories, not only of this planet, but also of millions of other planets within the universe. Well, there's a challenging statement. There were a few challenging statements from Prabhupada. As Prabhupada say, I kick on your face. Sometimes the history of planets beyond this world appear to such men to be unbelievable. That's unbelievable. But they do not know that different planets are not equal in all respects. They don't even know that there are other planets that have life on them. You know, they're still looking for them. Our simple process is to accept the Bhagavatam. They're still searching. But they do not know that different planets are not equal in all respects, and that therefore some of the historical facts derived from other planets do not correspond with the experience of this planet. Considering the different situation of different planets and also time and circumstances, there is nothing wonderful in the stories of the Puranas, nor are they imaginary. We should always remember the maxim. We should always remember this, Prabhupada says here, that one man's food is another man's poison. Something my father always used to say to me. We should not therefore reject the stories and histories of the Puranas as imaginary. The great rishis like Vyasa had no business putting some imaginary stories in their literatures. Huh? Why? Why tell lies? Huh? Confirmed. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, historical facts selected from the histories of different planets have been depicted. It is therefore accepted by all the spiritual authorities as the Mahapurana. But Srimad Bhagavatam is the Mahapurana. Topmost, the greatest history, greatest history book. Why? The special significance of these histories is that they are all connected with activities of the Lord in a different time and atmosphere. Srila Shukadeva Goswami is the topmost personality of all the self-realized souls, and he accepted this as a subject of studies from his father, Vyasadeva. Srila Vyasadeva is the great authority. And the subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam being so important, he delivered the message first to his great son, Srila Sukadeva Goswami. Of course, it's explained earlier on in the Bhagavatam why Sukadeva Goswami is so elevated. It is compared to the cream of the milk. Vedic literature is like the milk ocean of knowledge. Cream or butter is the most palatable essence of milk, and so also is Srimad Bhagavatam, for it contains all palatable, instructive and authentic versions of different activities of the Lord and his devotees. There is no gain, however, in accepting the message of Bhagavatam from the unbelievers, atheists and professional reciters who make a trade of Bhagavatam for the laymen. It was delivered to Srila Shukadeva Goswami, and he had nothing to do with the Bhagavata business. Bhagavata business, which is interesting. He did not have to maintain family expenses by such trade. Srimad Bhagavatam should therefore be received from the representative of Sukadev, who must be in the renounced order of life without family encumbrance. One should be a representative of Sukadev and one must be in the renounced order of life without family encumbrance. Milk is undoubtedly very good and nourishing, but when it is touched by the mouth of a snake, it is no longer nourishing. Rather, it becomes a source of death. Similarly, those who are not strictly in the Vaishnava discipline should not make a business of this Bhagavatam and become a cause of spiritual death for so many hearers. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that the purpose of all the Vedas is to know Him, Lord Krishna. Whereabouts in the Bhagavad Gita does Krishna say that? Anybody know what chapter? 15. What verse? 15, yeah. And Srimad Bhagavatam is Lord Sri Krishna Himself in the form of recorded knowledge. Therefore, it is the cream of all the Vedas and it contains all historical facts of all times in relation with Sri Krishna. It is factually the essence of all histories. Om agyanati mirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam jena tasmaye sri gurave namaha sri chaitanya mano mishtam stapitam jena bhutale svayam rupa kadamayam tadati svapadantikam mukam kuroti vachalam pangum langhayate gurim yat kripa tamaham mande sri gurum tinitariram. We should always remember the maxim that one man's food is another man's poison. So, those persons with a jaundiced perspective on existence will decry the validity of the Bhagavatam because it's outside of their experience. We never ever heard of such a thing before. Right. How can it possibly be true, etc. But the devotees derive great nourishment from the Srimad Bhagavatam because they have faith in its instructions. They have faith in its words. They have faith in the authenticity of the parampara system. As Prabhupada says here, why would Vyasadeva tell us a load of lies, right? Why would he? Why would the previous acharyas cook up a bunch of old cobblers and foist it upon us just to deceive us? Why? It's very offensive, actually. You know, this kind of mentality is very offensive, but as Prabhupada says, modern historians only have a history going back 2,000 3,000 years, and then beyond that it's all speculation. Whereas the Vaishnavas, certainly in our line, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, accept the authenticity of the Vedas, all of the Vedas, not just part of the Vedas, but all of the Vedas, understanding the purpose of the Vedas, as Prabhupada mentions here, the purpose of the Vedas is to know Krishna. I don't think you're going to be able to do anything about it, Kaspar. My job is to sit here and adjust the microphone.
I'll give it a go.
You'll give it a go. Go on. Yeah, well, you know what will happen? You'll break it.
WD-40.
No, we need a new one. How many? Do you reckon I've had this experience quite a few times before. So all we need to do is buy a new one. Nanamania, can you get a new one of these? Then at least for the next year it'll work. Until then it'll conk out and then we'll have to get another one. That's the nature of things in the material world. So, Prabhupada says here, the Bhagavad Gita is not an imagination. This is a very important point. Although it presents information that sometimes appears unbelievable, or outside of our experience, we should understand that it refers to time, place and circumstance beyond our experience. It's talking about events that have taken place in other planets. Not just planets in the material world, but planets in the spiritual world. And in the spiritual world, the laws of material nature don't apply. Right? So therefore, things occur that couldn't possibly happen here. But just because they can't because they don't happen here doesn't mean they can't happen anywhere. Right? Because, you know, Prabhupada gives the story of Dr. Frog. Right? How Dr. Frog measures the expanse of the great ocean by the experience he has in his own little well. Which is, you know, a little puddle. But if we try to measure the expanse of the whole creation just based on our little teeny weeny experience, you know, when Prabhupada was sitting here giving a class, and one of the devotees asked Prabhupada, you know, about the story of the eagles that drop their eggs and then they hatch in the sky, and he said, and he more or less challenged Prabhupada and said, "This is a bit hard to believe." Prabhupada said to him, "You know, who are you? You're still wet behind the ears. Or no, you're just out of the womb of your mother." Which is kind of harsh. Apparently harsh. Sounds harsh to us. But you know, actually this underlines the faith, you know, that the devotees have in the stories of the Bhagavad Gita. And certainly Prabhupada's faith in the instructions of Vyasadeva, Sukadeva Goswami, Sudha Goswami, Narada Muni. Actually, you know, the Bhagavad Gita was almost instigated by Narada Muni. Why? For the benefit of others. And so he instructed Vyasadeva, "You've compiled the Vedas, but you're not satisfied. Why? Because you haven't focused in on Krishna." So he rewrote the Bhagavad Gita. Knowing that, you know, those who will recite the Bhagavad Gita will derive great benefit from it. What will be the benefit? They'll get free from the influence of the material energy. The Bhagavad Gita is so potent, so powerful, that if one regularly hears the Bhagavad Gita, that means every day we render service to the Bhagavad Gita. Nitya Bhagavata Sevaya. Right? This is the Nashta Prayeshava Badreshu Nitya Bhagavata Sevaya. By regularly rendering service to the Bhagavad Gita and to the devotees, and this is our process, then all that is troublesome to the heart is practically removed. In other words, the influence of the mode of passion, the influence of the mode of ignorance is removed by regularly hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. Another reason why the devotees have great faith is because, you know, you don't need a certificate, Prabhupada mentioned, you don't need a certificate to show proof that you are getting the benefits, that you've studied the Bhagavatam. You'll experience it. Pratyak savagamam damyam susukam kartamaviyam. You become happy. Why do we become happy? When we study the Bhagavad Gita, when we hear the Bhagavad Gita, we put it into practice, we become happy because those activities elevate us out of material existence. Huh? The way Prabhupada had great faith in the Bhagavatam, why he spent all of his life translating and printing the Srimad Bhagavatam, and then urging others to give the Bhagavatam to the whole world. Why? Because regularly rendering service to the Bhagavatam, absorbing the details, absorbing the information, putting it into practice, then one will become like the Bhagavatam. Or like Sukadeva Goswami. What is it described here? How is he described here? Atmavatam varam. The most respectful, self-realized personality. New thumbnail. Okay, so Atmavatam varam, self-realized. Most respectful because of his self-realization. That's what happens when you study the Bhagavatam. Or should be happening. If it's not happening, then we're not studying the Bhagavatam properly. But rendering service to the Bhagavatam, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, actually Prabhupada makes the point that, you know, and even here, we should hear the Srimad Bhagavatam from a self-realized person. Who's a self-realized person? Somebody who follows their guru. Who's that person? Somebody who follows their guru. So we accept the Srimad Bhagavatam in the process of disciplic succession. You know, one becomes self-realized when one follows the order of one's spiritual master. Krishna mentions that in the Bhagavad Gita. 4:34, isn't it? Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadikshanti te jnanam jnaninas tatvadarshanam. Krishna says, I give them the knowledge. Pesham satatu yuktanam bhajatam pritipurvakam. One who serves Krishna under the direction of the spiritual master, Krishna gives them realization, understanding. It is actually very, very difficult to approach Krishna directly, almost impossible, or very, very rare. And so therefore, this principle of approaching the Bhagavat, one who possesses Bhagavan, the Bhagavatam, or the Bhagavat devotee, is important, this principle. So, the devotees know the potency and the power of the Srimad Bhagavatam, because by regularly hearing the Bhagavatam, they become free from the mode of passion and the mode of ignorance. You know, when we have a good, solid sadhana, then what's the result? Huh? Pretty good. Yes, pretty good. What's the result? We become happy. Why are we happy? Because we're not burdened by all of these monsters that we carry around with us. Monsters of material desire that bug us and distract us. So the devotees accept the validity of the Bhagavatam. For them, it's not imagination. For the materialistic people, it's, as Prabhupada says here, one man's food is another man's poison. My father used to say, one man's meat is another man's poison. Slight variation on the theme. Same principle. Right? One man's food is another man's poison. For the devotees, they get nourishment from hearing the Bhagavatam. Others hear it and can't understand it at all. That's in the Krishna mentions that in the Bhagavad Gita. There are those who look on the soul as amazing. There are some who hear of the soul as amazing. Some there's another one. What's
hearing about the soul, I cannot understand
it. Yeah, there's another one before that though. Some speak of the soul as amazing. Yeah. Some look on the soul as amazing. Some speak of the soul as amazing. There are those who hear about him and cannot understand him at all. So, we shouldn't be surprised. You know, there's that biblical saying, we shouldn't cast pearls before swine. All we have the same thing. It is an offence to preach the glories of the holy name to the unfaithful. Huh? So we should understand the difference. There's a difference. And in fact, this is a qualification of a Madhyam Adhikari. Right? He can tell the difference between the devotees and the non-devotees and the innocent. And just avoids the demons, basically, the asuras, or those who have no faith in the Bhagavatam. Now, why is the Bhagavatam important? The special significance of these histories is that they are all connected with activities of the Lord in a different time and atmosphere. Huh? Because, you know, sometimes we hear this, you know, especially you read the stories of the 10th canto and you think, oh, that's impossible. Huh? But we should appreciate different time and atmosphere. We're now living in a Kali Yuga. Everything has been reduced, degraded. It's corrupted, practically speaking. And so therefore, our ability to appreciate these things has been reduced. But the advantage is of those stories of the Bhagavatam is that they're all connected to Krishna. And that's the focus. The focus of the Bhagavatam, especially as presented by Sukadev Goswami, is to allow us to appreciate Krishna and our relationship with Krishna. Not so much that we, you know, it's not so much the knowledge as such, you know, just the jnana, but actually Prabhupada mentions in the beginning, it's the rasa. The nature of relationship, the nature of relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and how attractive and satisfying and beautiful those relationships actually are. Excuse me. Yeah. This is the real essence of the Bhagavatam. Prabhupada mentions it here. The Vedas are compared to the desire tree. The desire tree. What is the desire tree? We probably all would like one. Right? I'd like a desire tree growing in my backyard. Right? You just go out in your backyard and you say, today I want X, Y, Z, and bang, there it is. Right? Only with this tree, basically, you have to plant the seed and water it and then wait for it to grow and then get the fruit. It takes some time. Right? The Vedas deal with mundane necessities as well as spiritual realization. The example that I usually give to the students that come is the Vedas are like a manual. You know, when you get a computer, you're given a manual with a computer and it tells you, here's how you use the computer. Same with a motor car or a lawnmower, television set, whatever. You get a manual. So similarly, with the universe comes a manual. It's called the Vedas. And the Vedas tells us, here's how to utilize this facility in order to get what you want. But of course you have to follow the process, the system. Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. The Vedas contain regulated principles of knowledge covering, listen to this, social, political, religious, economic, military, medicinal, chemical, physical, and metaphysical subject matter. Right? Physical means of this realm. Metaphysical means beyond the physical. In other words, the spiritual. the word of the day yesterday on dictionary.com was meta-empirical. Right? Meta-empirical, which means the same thing. Beyond that which can be experienced. Nice word. Keep that for your preaching. This is meta-empirical knowledge. People think you're very smart. But it means beyond the, you know, beyond the mundane, beyond the material. Meta-empirical. And that's the Bhagavatam. Although the Vedas deal with other things. Ayurveda deals with medicine, Dhammaveda deals with warfare. You know, there's a whole range of information in the Vedas. But the essence, the cream, the best part. Like when we were kids, we used to get milk delivered to our door in bottles, milk bottles, with silver caps on the top. Right? The when you were a kid, you get milk delivered to your door in Sydney? Yep. But was it with a horse and buggy? When I was a kid, the bread man, the greengrocer, and the milkman, each of them had a horse and a trailer, right? So the horse, you know, it was good because he'd be running backwards and forwards from the cart into the house, putting it on the doorstep, right? And a horse would know when to stop, when to go, giddy up, and the horse would go along. You had a panel van. We had a horse and buggy. More Vedic. South Australia was behind the times in those days. So, you know, and my mum used to cook, and my grandma too used to cook stewed apricots. Delicious. Beautiful. And what you would do is you'd get out in the morning, get the milk first, right? Person who got up first got the milk. Of course, on the top of the milk was the cream. And that's the best part. So what you do is you get your cornflakes, you get your stewed apricots, and then you get the cream. Oh, beautiful. Nectar. don't eat cornflakes anymore, but anyway. Still, the cream on top of the apricots was... I could still remember the taste. Offered to the tongue, yeah. Would have been even better if it was offered to Krishna. Offered to the fire of digestion. So anyway, the cream is the essence of the milk. It's the best part. So the best part of the Vedas, even though the Vedas covers everything imaginable or anything desirable, and a reason why you need a guru... Because the Vedas are such a vast expanse of knowledge and information, you know, you've got to find your way through it to get the best bits, right? The best part. And we're fortunate because, you know, we have Srila Prabhupada, we have the Parampara, they're giving us the best, the Sara here, Sara, Sara, Samudritam. They've extracted the best. The Vyasadeva has extracted the best from the Vedas. He's the compiler of the Vedas, so he should know. Right? And he's not making it up. Why would he make it up? That means the whole thing is a bunch of baloney. Right? Isn't that ridiculous when you think about it? It's just ridiculous. Why would the Vyasadeva write all of this knowledge, get it all together, and just foist upon us nonsense? It just does not make sense. It's not... The Vedas and certainly the Srimad Bhagavatam has its own internal logic, its own cohesiveness, its own system, consistency. It's consistent. So Vyasadeva has extracted the essence of the Vedas. He's given it to Sukadeva Goswami, and it's now being presented by Srila Prabhupada for our benefit. And what's that benefit? Or what's that information? The metaphysical subject matter. Well, actually, it's interesting what Prabhupada says here. The Vedas contain
Regulated principles of knowledge covering social, political, religious, economic, military, medicinal, chemical, physical and metaphysical subject matter, and all that may be necessary to keep the body and soul together. Above and beyond all this, right? Above and beyond all this are specific directions for spiritual realization. This is the important, for us, this is the important bit. Regulated knowledge involves a gradual raising of the living entity to the spiritual platform. Right? Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma, Nasochati Nakanchati. Brahmayan Sabha. What's that? Sama Saveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param. Right? Regulated knowledge involves a gradual raising of the living energy of the spiritual platform, and the highest spiritual realization is knowledge that the personality of Godhead is the reservoir of all spiritual tastes or rasas. That's the highest. And that's what's given by the Srimad Bhagavatam in the 10th canto, the Summum Bonum. It illustrates Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the relationships that he has with his devotees. You see in the beginning, pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan is Krishna as a baby, then Krishna as a cowherd, and his Shaka friends and the relationships that he has with them. As Prabhupada says, killing two or three demons every day before lunch. Right. And the fun that the cowherd boys, they were tossing up whether they should, walk into Agasura's mouth. Some of them were saying, no, it's a big demon. We'll be killed. And others said, it doesn't matter, Krishna will protect us. Right? So, this is, the rasa or relationship is the most important, other besides the knowledge. Certainly the knowledge is there, but the knowledge leads us to the point of having a relationship with Krishna. So Prabhupada says here, the higher spiritual realization is knowledge that the personality of Godhead is the reservoir of all spiritual tastes or rasas. Every living entity, beginning from Brahma, the firstborn living being within the material world, down to the insignificant ant. Right, this is all of us. We fit in there somewhere. Right? Desires to relish some sort of taste derived from sense perceptions. Right? We all want taste. And we want that taste to be pleasurable. Usually. There are some who like, the masochists who like pain. But generally we don't like pain. But even pain sometimes is better than nothing. Huh? These sensual pleasures are technically called rasas. Such rasas are of different varieties. In the revealed scriptures, the following 12 varieties of rasas are enumerated. Rodra, anger. Huh? Anger. This is a rasa. Who exhibits anger? Huh? Yeah. Hmm? I can't hear you. You're mumbling. Nisringa Dave. Yeah, Lord Nisringa Dave. Roar! Huh? What about devotees who exhibit anger? Yeah, Prabhupada. Not you. Everybody likes to think of Srila Prabhupada as always being sugary sweet. Oh, when Prabhupada was here. Yeah, look. Lord Balaram. Arjuna. Bhima. Hanuman. Two examples that Prabhupada gives. Hanuman, Arjuna. In the service of the Lord. Right? So there's a taste there. There's a taste in getting angry for Krishna. When the devotees used to go out on Harinam, they'd always used to have two devotees who would just go in plain clothes. So that when the sailors or whatever came to harass the Harinad party, they'd have a bit of a biff up. Take them around the corner.
Is that George?
I'm not going to mention any names. We didn't do it when I joined up. Although I remember one time this guy was harassing us in Collins Street. And on a Saturday night, he was so drunk. You know, there's at least 15 devotees. It's amazing how these stupid drunkards, you know, they think they can take on the Hare Krishnas and win. Right? I guess they think these guys are all wearing dresses, you know, they can't fight. Just a bunch of girls. They had to get an ambulance to take the guy away. He came running, charging up, and then he launched himself into the. And Balaram was playing the mridanga, and the guy just fell under the mridanga and just clonk on the deck. And then the devotees were the wampas and the kartals. We're fortunate these things don't happen that often. These days, anyway. Krishna, touch wood. Krishna willing, you. People have heard the Hari Nam for so long now, they've become purified. But Rodra, anger. 2, Adbhuta, wonder, amazement. This is a rasa, a taste. 3, Sringara, conjugal love. Which is one of the, that's one of the, you know, there are 7 secondary and 5 primary rasas. And so Sringara is mentioned here first as the first of the primary. 4, Hasya, comedy, humour. You know, people go to the comedy shows just to experience. Even Prabhupada tells the story, many stories of Gopal Bhan who would, you know, humiliate his boss, the king, because he liked, you know, people like to laugh, even at their own expense. There's a taste, there's a pleasure in that. 5, Vira, chivalry. (clears throat) 6, Doya, mercy. 7, Dasya, servitorship. 8, Sakya, fraternity, friendship. 9, Bhoyanaka, horror. Right, people go to horror movies to be shocked. Right? It's not pleasant, but people enjoy it. Right? They enjoy being scared. That's half of the rides down at Luna Park depend on this principle. Huh? Kids want to get on it and spun around, you know, they probably want to throw up. And you get off the thing and you can't even walk. And they go, oh, we had a fantastic time. Right? People pay money for that. Vibhatsa, shock. Again, shock. 11, Shanta, neutrality. And 12, Vatsalya, parenthood. The sum total of all these rasas is called affection or love. Primarily such signs of love are manifested in adoration, service, friendship, paternal affection and conjugal love, the 5 primary. Take them away and then you get the others. Now Prabhupada gives the example of how when a young boy and a young girl come together, then they're amorous dealings. You know, show the pleasure that they get from conjugal rasa. But then when there's some misunderstandings, right, then there's anger or there's some cheating. There may even be, you know, not very unpleasant. I was reading yesterday, one girl in India was being teased by the boys and so she hung herself. Right? This is shock, horror. Right? Ordinarily, girls like to be teased by boys. But when it goes too far, then... So anyway, this is the the nature of rasa, the nature of relationship, and specifically the nature of relationship in connection with Krishna. This is what the Bhagavatam teaches us, and this is the essence of all knowledge and of all dealings. Why the Srimad Bhagavatam is considered to be the most important of all literatures, why it's being presented by Vyasadeva, why Prabhupada gave it to us to recite on a daily basis. Prabhupada even mentions that even if we don't know the potency of the Bhagavatam, even if the speaker doesn't know the potency, but he talks about it and others are hearing and they discuss it, they still get the benefit. Isn't that interesting? Well, you know, sometimes, although Prabhupada did say here, interestingly though, Prabhupada says that we shouldn't make a business of the Bhagavatam. Right? Although it is our business. This is the thing that I was thinking about last night. The Bhagavatam, we shouldn't make a business of it, yet it is our business. But our business is that we present the Bhagavatam without material consideration, not for material benefit. We recite the Srimad Bhagavatam purely for our spiritual amelioration, for our spiritual nourishment. And he warns, actually, against, very strongly, you know, this Bhagavat Saptaha. Prabhupada says, where does it say Bhagavat Saptaha, 7 days? It says Nitya Bhagavat, not Sapta Bhagavat. Right? Because the Sapta, you know, the Bhagavat Saptaha, people go and give the recitation of the Bhagavatam, usually jump to the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam and they get paid to give the presentation. And usually they don't even believe it. They actually still think that it's mythology. And the audience doesn't believe it either. Whereas the devotees accept the authority of Vyasadeva, the authority of Sukadeva Goswami, the authority of Sudha Goswami, the authority of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the authority of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, and so faithfully recite the Bhagavatam and get the benefits. There is no gain, however, in accepting the message of Bhagavatam from the unbelievers, atheists, and professional reciters who make a trade of Bhagavatam for the layman. Although it is our business, Prabhupada did say, this is our business. But spiritual business, in other words, no material motivations. The Bhagavatam should be presented for the benefit, for the spiritual benefit of everybody. Okay, people are getting restless. Anybody have any comments or questions?
Just a question on the pills before swallowing.
Yeah.
And meat is, you know, what is the thing, meat and poison? What's that one? You just have to.
One man's food is another man's poison. Now, Prabhupada says here, we should always remember.
I've been invited to Fred's 50th in December.
Yeah. I hope so.
Yeah.
He was the last time I saw him.
Yeah. I was thinking not to go to his 50th birthday because it's been 25 years since I knew that crowd of people.
Wow.
But I did spend probably 15 years with that crowd. You know, all the associates that will come to this party. And then Vana said that, well, he went recently to one similar thing.
Yeah.
Took his wife.
Mm. He survived.
So, I've more or less accepted the go, and although I'm a bit reluctant, because it will be a meeting affair and a little bit of intoxication there, and I don't know what.
They'll be going for the VB, you reckon?
So, my question is more or less, and people will ask, no doubt, even flippantly or, you know, just in social intercourse. yourself, you'd be in a situation you could imagine, you'd have a general distaste of the atmosphere already. But you're there in a reluctant way to see the friend, etc. How far can you
go
expect this, you know, and still sort of like be socially acceptable in a situation like that?
Ginger Reaper and I went to I don't know what year it was. Well, must have been 2008, I suppose. 5 years ago, maybe. No, it might have been longer than that. We went to Port Augusta to a high school reunion, right? You know, to people that we hadn't seen for 20 years, maybe, at least. You know, kids that I went to. I was year 10, I think. Yeah, year 10 was when I first went to Port Augusta High School. And, you know, they're all standing around with the stubbies. G'day, mate. How's it going? We went in our devotional clothes. Right. Yeah, you've got to go as a devotee. And, you know, it was actually pretty good. And I met, you know, some of these guys that I played hockey with and, you know, played football with and obviously, you know, went to school with. And they're engine drivers and truck drivers and, you know, just regular ockers. And eventually, basically, all I did was talk to them about Krishna consciousness. They were just asking me, what do you do? What's this? And they were really appreciative. Because a lot of them are fairly, you know, they're just average family people, right? They've got kids. And they appreciate, they appreciate that we took a path less travelled, you know. And we stuck to it, and you know, at least from a material perspective, was successful, somewhat. Do you know what I mean? So that they appreciate that. So if you go as a devotee, and you know, obviously you don't want to shove the Bhagavad Gita down people's throats, but you can keep a few Bhagavad Gitas in the car and have your card or whatever, and just give it to them and make friends with them. That's what preaching, you know, is all about, isn't it? In reality, so you know, yeah.
So you would suggest actually that we're going to go to LA.
Yeah. Yeah. Why not? Yeah. You know. I remember my old friends. They were all many of them. They were friends in those days. So there's some affection. Some connection. The people who, you know, I remember at the end, the girl said, come on, we're going down the disco, you want to come? Right? They're all half sloshed anyway, they've been drinking all day. Right? So I guess by the end of the night, they're all pretty legless, but, you know, just be friendly. Then the impression that they have is, yeah, he's a pretty guy, he's an okay guy. So they think favourably about the devotees. Just, you know, we obviously don't take some of their invitations too seriously. Then the next day, you know, that was a Saturday night, then the next day, the Sunday morning, having a barbecue. I think the guys are all standing there, you know. They've got this eternal posture, you know. Some of them, you're lucky to get a conversation out of them, because I think they're just completely tanked, you know. That's what they do on a weekend. Just, you know, some things don't change in country towns, I tell you. Australian country towns. But they get some benefit. Take some prasadam. I mean, it's pretty... We have a fairly straightforward formula, and being friendly with people just Melson. Yes.
You mentioned qualification of a Madhyacharya.
A qualification of a?
Madhyacharya.
Madhyam Adhikari. Madhyam Adhikari. Adhikari. Adhika means one who holds. The Adhikari means his qualification. Madhyam, there's Kanishta Adhikari, Madhyam Adhikari, and Uttama Adhikari. Kanishta means a beginner. Madhyam means middle. Madhyam means middle. And Uttama means the topmost. So Madhyam Adhikari usually means a devotee who's experienced, mature, but not perfect. Well, on the path of perfection. Yeah.
And the second one was that how to deal with those innocent and asuras.
Avoid the asuras, make friends with the innocent. That's what I'm encouraging him to do. Go make friends with the innocent. You know, if you got some drunkard comes up to you and wants to argue about Krishna consciousness, you avoid them. Well, but if somebody's interested, we'll talk to them, give them information. And the devotees we make friends with. We worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we make friends with the devotees. We encourage the innocent by good association and we avoid the non-devotees. Is removed. Total absorption in Krishna. Practice. The effort that we need to put in. I've been thinking about that question myself. Because I'm listening to the classes where Prabhupada's saying, you know, practically removed. He hasn't said yet what needs, but as I understand it, it's our effort, the effort that we put in to extricate ourselves and to remove ourselves from unwanted association and unwanted, you know, desires. But as we practice Krishna consciousness and as we make progress and advancement, then the stage of perfection is eventually achieved. No? So it's our effort, the effort that we put in to make further progress. That's a good question. I'm still looking for a definitive answer. And Prabhupada does say that fully purified means perfect. Bhava Prema Bhakti. Right? And while we're in a material world, then there's always going to be some influence or some contamination that needs to be avoided. Right? So we have to it's our effort to avoid that. Anything else? Okay. Gantra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Gaura Bhaktavinoda Ki Jai.